Welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we are here on the air live right now to talk about how the Word of God can help you experience true life and freedom in Christ Jesus. Call now, 1-800-677-9377, and let's talk about how the Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life. Don't wait. Call right now, 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to go straight to our phone lines today and talk with Gil, listening to us in Queens, New York on WMCA. Hi, Gil.
Hi. God bless you, brother.
And you as well. Thank you.
Thank you. As you know, I got saved to the ministry. I'm also blind. I wanted to ask you a question related to Matthew 5:16, where Jesus says that in the same way, he says, "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven," and compare that with Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. It says, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them." And, I got saved in 92 and everything, and I've always had, I was never really great at reading until later on, until I started knowing the Lord and everything like that. Now, these two verses, it kind of sounds like it's contradicting each other. And when it talks about that some who do that will lose their reward, does that mean that those people at that time would also not be saved if they do that?
Well, Gil, that's a great question. Excellent insight on your part to really look at those two verses. The one in chapter 6, it talks about be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. What Jesus is saying is that the Pharisees basically were doing their acts of righteousness for the sole purpose of being seen by man. That's all they wanted to do. They wanted to be recognized as the super spiritual people. So they weren't doing it from a genuine, sincere heart because they really wanted to serve somebody. They simply wanted to be noticed by others, and to be praised for their wonderful good works. So Jesus' words to them were not very nice words. He was slamming them for their hypocrisy, and that's exactly what he says. As the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by men. So the folks in chapter 6 were doing their acts of righteousness to be honored by men. They're in chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before men. The light, we aren't the source of light. Jesus Christ is the source of light. God himself is the source of light. For the people of Israel, they were given, an element of light through the Mosaic covenant, and they were to be a blessing to the world. And rather than being a blessing to the world, they basically put, a bushel basket over that light and tried to maintain it for themselves. And so, again, he was saying to them, you've missed the point altogether. You've missed.
It's just confusing because, I've never been great at a lot of things. I know that I came to learn to play the piano also because I have a disease that I don't know if I mentioned it to you before that the doctors have no way of treating. I suffer from ringing in the ears. And I don't know if I mentioned this, besides a program with Bob George and you guys now, I met a couple at the health food store, and he called your show, by the way. His name is Dennis.
Okay.
And him and his wife were a really great light to me, and like the psalmist David says in Psalm 119, verse 71, it was good for me to be afflicted that I might learn your decrees. And they never forced the Bible on me or anything like that, but they gave it to me in Braille, and then when I didn't want it, they gave it to a blind lady with a seeing eye dog. But they showed me love in many different ways, and one of the things that blessed me one time as a person who can't see was when he grabbed my hand in a very nice way, and he had me feel him, and he had his arms around his wife. They worked in the business for many years, and they really were a light to me. I said, that's what Christianity is all about. I want to know more about it, and... how do you balance the two? Like letting your light shine, but then also wanting encouragement. Because I know that Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more you see the day approaching. And sometimes I get discouraged. And
Well, Gil, I think your example of your friend, you could sense something sincere, something genuine, that he was truly interested in you. He wanted you to know the peace of God. He wanted you to experience new life in Christ. He wanted you to know that you had been reconciled to God. And so you sense that. And so he was letting the light of Christ's life shine brightly to benefit you for your good.
Yep.
But if he had come and just took your hand, and then there was a photographer over there, and he said, take this picture, and, you know, took that picture, and then he just went off and never talked to you ever again, you would think, oh, he had no interest in me whatsoever. He just wanted to be honored by men. So he felt sorry for me, did a nice little thing, got a picture, and now he's going to put that picture up for the world to see, so they can say about him, wow, what a wonderful guy he is. And so he's received his reward. When people say what a wonderful guy, then that's the reward he was seeking. That's the reward he got. So that's the distinction between those two. On one, there was a person there that genuinely loved you, that was genuinely concerned about you, and he treated you in that way. You sensed it. Someone else could come up and just use you so that they could be edified and looked at as someone special. And that's the difference between the two.
Right. They weren't able to treat my immediate problem, but I'm thankful that, you know, that they gave me the gospel. And who knows, maybe there'll be a cure for my problem one day. But I'm just hoping, and I'm just asking if you could pray that this might happen, because I lost contact with them, and I'm hoping that maybe they're listening to your show. I haven't spoken to them in years, that maybe they might call me again, because I just don't have a way of contacting them. And I'm sure with God, all things are possible.
Well, yes, indeed. Like, well, let's just pray to that end. What was his name again?
Dennis and Charlene.
Dennis and Charlene. Well,
that the husband, his name is Dennis, and the wife is named Charlene. And I heard him call your the show years ago, actually. I was surprised.
Well, if Dennis and Charlene are listening, hopefully you are hearing your old friend Gil, and you can reconnect with them, and we'll do a little search and see if we can find them on our database and see if we can make that connection for you, Gil, okay?
Yep. Yeah, they're living in New Jersey, praise the Lord, and they're a wonderful couple.
Okay. Well, thanks for your call today, Gil, and good question. Okay.
Amen.
Bye-bye.
All right, plenty of open lines. If you have something you'd like to discuss on this edition of Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher and Richard Pfeiffer, well, give us a call, 1-800-677-9377. Plenty of open lines right now, 1-800-677-9377.
Well, Bob, we've been talking about freedom on the broadcast this month, and the fact that Jesus Christ died and his death was a ransom to set us free from the law of sin and death so that we could experience new life in Christ. That's this gospel message that we talk about each and every day. But there's so many things out there in life that bind us up, that trap us, that keep us from experiencing that freedom that Christ has given us. And so asking a question today, if you could break free from one thing in your life right now, what would it be? Would it be anger, anxiety, guilt, fear, emptiness, loneliness, some besetting sin, religious tradition, the control of others? You know, all of us have something in our lives that seems to be an obstacle, keeping us from experiencing this true freedom that the Bible speaks of. So what's that in your life? Let's talk about it.
Yes, sir. 1-800-677-9377. As I said, the lines are wide open, and all the time remaining on the clock, we want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel. In the meantime, from Lucy in Southern California, she said, recently, we've been confused about our role in Proposition 8 here in California. It read that the definition of marriage is between one woman and one man. This was voted on and passed twice by the California voters, including us. Anyway, someone called me religious, meaning legalistic, because I voted that way. I also heard someone say, someone that I highly respect, that we should not be making laws about certain groups' behaviors. Lucy says, I'm confused. How should the church respond to the changes in society that affect the way that our country is run? Personally, I do not put any labels on my car or on my lawn or display hateful behavior to gays. I have them in my family and close friends' families. But like other similar laws, like the abortion laws, I do vote to limit them and vote for candidates whom I believe will vote the same way that we do. What is your take on all this?
Well, I think as believers, we have a standard of truth, and that is the Word of God, and that's what we stand upon. We don't necessarily have the opportunity to put this out there for, you know, our government to take hold of. You know, our U.S. government is moving further and further away from the Word of God. I mean, that's just evident, and that's been its course for quite a number of years now. But that doesn't mean that we need to silence our voices, that we need to just sit back and watch this stuff happen. I think we should stand up for what we believe. Now, that doesn't mean that Congress is going to vote the way we would hope for them to vote. That doesn't mean things are going to go back to the way they were 50 years ago or that sort of thing. But I think we still stand up. I think we still let our voice be heard. And we have to realize that when we say the Bible says marriage is one man, one woman, that is not hate language.
Right.
Somebody may perceive it as hate language, but that's not what it is at all. I mean, as far as the Word of God is concerned, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sexual immorality is one of those sins that we get trapped in, that we fall into. And that's one of the sins that Christ's resurrected life rescues us from. Now, whatever that looks like, what form that takes, it's still under that heading, sexual immorality. So when we speak of this basic gospel, we're speaking of a God who loves people and wants the very best for them. We're not speaking of a God who's sitting there judging, saying, oh no, you better change your ways or you're going to hell. We're speaking about a God who knows us inside and out, knows that we're dead spiritually, that we're separated from the life of God, and that we need Him in our lives for us to be fully human, for us to experience all that God has created us to experience. And so when we're talking about this basic gospel, it's not out of hate at all. It's out of love. Now, somebody can disagree with that. Somebody can say, you know, I don't agree with what your Bible has to say. I don't agree with what your God has to say. I don't agree with what your Jesus has to say. And with that, you just say, okay, we disagree. But if ever there comes a point in your life where you sense that emptiness, you sense that something's wrong, you sense that you need something more than what life has provided for you, will you come back to me and let's talk about Jesus at that point?
Yeah.
Because that's the real issue. God wants to connect His creation to His love, and that's done in Jesus.
Absolutely. Well, Lucy, appreciate your question and hope that's been a help to you. Very quickly, before we go to our next phone call, 1-800-677-9377. French, we got a lot of time left on the clock. We want to hear from you. 1-800-677-9377.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Sarah, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Pastor.
Hello
I
there.
I accepted Jesus on my 89th birthday.
Wow.
I felt something real, a little twinge in my right side of my heart. I closed it. I had a vision, quickly. I don't want to take up too much of your time. I heard a voice say, open up, open up. I opened up. Happy birthday, happy birthday. Let's have a party. 89. Who am I? I don't know. I'm your birthday present. I'm Jesus. And you accepted me in your heart. And then I called 570 WMCA and I was baptized. But a week ago or so, I came home. I accepted Jesus before. I came home. The door was broken. Every room was empty. Furniture, clothes, telephone, drawers. But Jesus came to me a week before, so my request is, I I accepted Jesus, and this tragic thing, everything is gone. What do you say about that?
Well, Sarah, I think, you know, what Jesus had to say about this life is that in this world we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have trials. We're going to have bad things happen to us. And
yes.
What I would say to you, Sarah, is the fact that you received Christ has given you a foundation to stand upon in the midst of this tragedy.
Yes.
What if you hadn't accepted Christ and known
right.
that he truly loves you and walked into your house and everything had been gone? Boy, you wouldn't know how to deal with it. But right
no.
now you have an anchor in Christ.
I see.
You have an anchor in him. He loves you in the midst of it, and you can count on him to take care of you and
mm-hmm.
to help walk you through this this tragic situation.
I see.
So, Sarah,
in other words, a challenge.
That's right. You have an opportunity to trust the love of God in this
mm-hmm.
In this situation. And
I see.
Yeah, and Sarah, you're not unusual. I've talked to a lot of people. They've come to Christ, and then, you know, that first month after being made new in Christ, the worst thing, you know,
yeah.
in life happens to them. And it's like, you know, why is that the case? Well, and some have said, well, if I hadn't accepted Christ, this would have never happened. Well, that's not
Ooh.
True. It was going to happen, but now you just have a solid foundation that you can plant your feet upon that'll help
mm-hmm.
get you through that. Otherwise, you'd have just been lost, not knowing what to do.
Yes.
So, Sarah, the fact that you are in Christ, you should look at that tragic situation, and you should say, thank you, Lord, that you saved me and that I know that you love me and that I can trust you in this situation. And hopefully there's some friends there in Brooklyn that can help you out as well. And
mm-hmm.
We'll certainly be praying to that end.
Yes, do you have a prayer group? They can pray for me too.
Well, we will pray for you. I'll just pray for you right now, if that's okay. Dear Heavenly Father.
Oh, please.
Okay, well, let me just do so. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for Sarah. And thank you that not too long ago you reached out to her and you saved her. You gave her new life. And she is a brand new creature in you, a child of God. Thank you for that. And I certainly lift up this tragic situation to you. And I trust that you are going to enable Sarah to feel your presence, to know your love in a very special way during this time. And we're going to thank you for that in Christ's name. Amen.
Yes, I bless you. Hallelujah. And I'm experiencing the love of the community in bringing me clothes. I have a fan. And so all of this is part of God's plan, right?
Absolutely. The love of
and
Christ in action. That's exactly right. The love of God in action being directed
yes,
right to you.
And hallelujah and bless you.
Yes, indeed. Well, Sarah, thanks for your call. Let me put you on hold and let us get some information and see
Is
if we can be more helpful.
To prepare for the foundation, I was given an assignment. I have a class and maybe on the radio to bring the Jewish community and my Orthodox class to Jesus. Do you have any material foundational that you could send me?
I think we do. Let me put you on hold and we'll send that to you. Okay, Sarah?
That will be a big help
well,
for my challenge.
You're more than welcome, Sarah, and bless your heart for thinking about others during this time as well. You hold the line, okay?
Well, Bob, speaking of resources that can help, our CD and study guide resource called Gateway to Grace certainly can help in many areas. It can help you break free of fear and guilt, and you can find much more out of life. We have this available to you for a gift of any amount during the month of July. Simply go online to basicgospel.net, or call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. You can make your gift and make your request at 1-800-727-2828 for Gateway to Grace.
Well, thanks, Bob. Let's go to New York and talk to Angie, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Angie.
Hi, brothers. I don't even know. I'm not going to say much about me. It's just what, and not what has been happening to me for the last already, I don't know how many years. There is such an isolation. I'm talking there is no fellowship or there is no interest. It's the love of God, I could say, with no action. No action of any kind. Just like people, they're not seeing, they cannot hear, they cannot talk. It's all like that, like they're not individuals with hearts or feelings or some kind of discernment. I don't even know. What it's like passing through the night, like shade.
Well, I think...
furniture, nothing.
Yeah, I think, Angie, what we're talking about is exactly what James wrote about in his letter. What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? And he goes on to say, if one of you says to him, go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about his physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, it is not accompanied by action, is dead. And I think so many people are operating with a dead faith. They've never truly connected with the resurrected Christ, because when the resurrected Christ comes to live inside of a person,
there is some
dynamic things take place. And so
that's what it was. Perhaps 30 years ago, there was something in that nature. Not much. This is, I think, it's an American thing.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
Good
cultural thing. Because I come from Eastern Europe, and it's so far from what I am asking. People, did you ever have friends on your growing as children, as teenagers?
Yeah.
They're looking at me. They said, that's a commitment. This is something huge. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
They don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well,
they have not the notion of friendship.
Well, Angie, we're about out of time on the program. Let me put you on hold, and we want to send you some information. Send you some materials that may be helpful to you, and we certainly appreciate your call, okay? You hold the line, Angie. Well, let's quickly go to Antonio, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Antonio.
Hi, can you hear me well?
We can hear you just fine.
Well, listen, this is a very serious problem that I've been having, and this goes back to 2004, and the police... The New York police is involved in this. I lost my apartment in the Bronx illegally by them being involved, and I was illegally evicted. And I was put in jail four times, and the judges threw the cases away, yet, even though I was thrown away from my apartment, and I was not legally at fault on anything. All the cases were thrown away, and disposition was given to me, like the cases, you know, any of these things would never happen, which it never did. It was only fabrication.
Well, Antonio, I'm going to have to jump in. We're just about to go off the air here. Let me put you on hold and see if we can help you off the air a little further. Okay, my friend? Thank you for your call, and we'll certainly be lifting this situation up to the Lord on your behalf. You hold on, Antonio.
And thanks to all of you who support Basic Gospel to keep us on the air live each day with the truth that sets us free. To show our appreciation for your generous gift this month, we'll send you our newest CD series, as I mentioned a moment ago, called Gateway to Grace, 6 messages and a study guide to help you see the truth about many of our religious beliefs and practices, and open the door for the grand experience of God's love and grace and how it can impact your life every day. This month, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel, we'll send you this excellent resource, Gateway to Grace. To request yours and make your gift, go online to basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net, or call and speak with our operator at 1-800-727-2828. Gateway to Grace, yours this month, for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. That's 1-800-727-2828. You know, at Basic Gospel, as we've said before, we like social media. Hope you do too. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter at Basic Gospel RDO. Now for Bob and Richard and the staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another edition of Basic Gospel.